the truth.
Welcome to In Plain Sight, Jeremy here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate, send the fundage. Check our money orders can be made to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. You can call in your debit or credit card at 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Let's keep this free speech platform going. And challenge to host, give $50. Challenge to listeners and especially callers, give $10. And if anybody can give anything, though, that would be phenomenal. Even a dollar. Do what you can. And thanks for your support. And we will try to bring you free speech and unfiltered news the best we can. So 9/11, not going to get into this whole thing because I think pretty much every show has touched on it. If you just want the lowdown for your normie friends, you had two airplanes bring down three skyscrapers, and we went to war with two countries that had nothing to do with it. Building 7 fell on its own footprint, supposedly from debris. And then what was the result? We went to war in the Middle East and stayed there for nearly 21 years. And, you know, many different factions, mostly Jewish factions, were involved here. I would highly recommend on BitChute 911 Missing Links, the Israeli connection. That's on BitChute 911 Missing Links, the Israeli connection. It's over a two-hour documentary that goes all the way back into the history of false flags concerning the United States to get us into Spanish-American War, you know, the Lusitanian, World War One. You had the Pearl Harbor, Gulf of Tonkin. I mean, it's very thorough. It documents how a lot of wealthy Jews made money. And there's just all kinds of things. Again, don't want to get too far in the weeds with this. I'm kind of taking more of a 30,000-foot view on this 9/11 thing. But the biggest thing was Project for a New American Century wanting a, you know, type of Pearl Harbor to get us into war in the Middle East for the purpose of securing the greater Israel. All of that has been sort of put on the back burner right now. What with the Maidan coup, and the purpose of that, I believe, was to have some leverage over Russia. They thought that if they could put UN missiles on the border of Ukraine, that they could keep Russia from backing up Assad in Syria, because those two things were going on right about the same time. The Syrian attempted overthrow of Assad by ISIS, supported by the CIA and Assad, of course. That was going on, and then you had the Maidan coup. You had the explosion of the alternative right. We detailed a little bit of this last week. Paul Gottfried, the Jew, and Richard Spencer, the possible queer. And getting into this whole alt-right thing and all of these different media outlets that popped up right about that time, not all of them were controlled. Not all of the people in them were nefarious, but I'll guarantee you something. I'll bet every one of them were infiltrated. That's from the Stormer to Renegade Tribune all the way over to TRS. The people that run those networks probably had good intentions and a lot of good people in there that hooked up and listened and that joined, but there always are infiltrators. So just a big red flag on that whole alt-right thing. And they brought a lot of faggotry in there, what with Milo, Yiannopoulos, and now they're currently trying to bring trannyism into it. And you're sort of seeing this blend of the alternative right with this tranny and homosexual movement, trying to make it look conservative. Lady MAGA is one, that tranny that Alex Jones interviewed recently. William and I exposed that about a week and a half ago, played clips of that. So you've got this whole thing that's, I would argue, has made the white pro-white movement look bad. This all after 9/11, all after the whole wars in the Middle East thing, and then you had the COVID thing hit. So you have multiple agendas happening, and people are just forgetting about, I mean, normies are forgetting about the significance of 9/11, and they're just posting, you know, don't forget the Twin Towers, always remember. And I'm like, no, bro, it's three towers, but okay, that's kind of the foot in the door for your normie. It's not two towers. Remember the three towers. Don't forget the three towers and the dancing Israelis. And you could just go on and on. But here's the point. They're rebuilding. They're restructuring society. And it's one where BlackRock and Vanguard are at the very top. And since the COVID hoax, which one of the main purposes was to sort of consolidate all of the wealth, business ownerships into these two Jewish-run financial institutes, so that it doesn't matter if you lock down business A or business B, they still have business C. It didn't matter that certain restaurants were locked down. They had Walmart and Dollar General. Doesn't matter if you boycott Bud Light over the tranny on the can. They can sell you Michelob or even Hoegaarden. I couldn't believe it, but Hoegaarden is owned by the same company as Bud Light and Anheuser-Busch. They're distributed by the same company, and they're a beer out of Belgium. It's very good wheat beer with some little flavorings in it. So, you know, even if you go total German, which I really like, Hofbräu out of Munich, I like a lot of the Munich beers, you still could be inadvertently, you know, giving money because they have consolidated things in such a way that it's a win-win for them. So, yeah, you can expect lockdowns. You can expect a lot of pushback against the lockdowns. You can bet that they're anticipating more conservative Trump-tard types. And they're good people. I don't want to throw them totally under the bus. They don't have time to analyze all of this like we do. They're very ignorant. The electorate is very ignorant. But they'll play right into it. And, of course, we should push back on the lockdowns. I mean, but they're anticipating that. So they're sort of, I mean, this really is a controlled demolition of not only the West, but America in general and American politics, the Republican Party in specific. These are things that I've been saying with Patrick for a while. Also, I heard Mike Sledge comment on them and Scorpio. And many of you others have, too. Many of the other hosts that are along our same lines, Richard Carey, William. For Stephen Whitener, we've all touched on this a little bit from one angle or another. And a huge part of this agenda, make no mistake, is white genocide. The elimination of white people and ethnicity of European descent in the West through massive immigration, but also through the vaccine programs. These were predominantly pushed in Western civilized countries. They weren't really pushed. They weren't really widely accepted in like India and Africa. I mean, you could find some exceptions, but as a whole. And so if indeed these are some sort of sterilization shots, which they very well could be, among many other things, that plus low birth rates for whites, excessive drug and alcohol use, where you got Muslim and Hispanics coming in and reproducing like rabbits, and it's all leading to this perfect storm. So this is sort of an overall view of starting with 9/11 and kind of going through the last 23 years of complete restructuring and change of society, socially, financially, geopolitically. You're seeing this shift to the East. Russia, China, Africa, India, the BRICS nations, you're seeing the dollar collapse. All of this, you might argue that it wasn't completely designed and that some of it that Jewish power are unhappy with, but you can bet they're utilizing it. You can bet they've made contingency plans A, B, and C. So what do we do other than talk about it? You want to just talk about this stuff on the radio? What are you going to do? Buy weapons, ammunition, food. Make sure you form strong communities. Be ready to defend your communities. Get in with the local law enforcement. I've said it all again, and some of you have more extreme views of what should be done, some of you not so. I would just say that be prepared. Be prepared and make sure you have your own means of warming yourself, cooking food, and a good food and weapon supply, because those things are going to be valuable. I have two wood stoves. I guarantee you one wood stove to a family that's freezing to death would be worth half a side of beef easily. So, you know, think of these things. Think about ways to avoid whatever they've got coming down on us and even to fight back against it. So with this in mind, I want to go to Maui, and I have a couple of clips to play. Let's see. The first one is Peggy Hall. Now, this is sort of going into the whole Climatard thing and maybe the reason behind a lot of these fires that were started purposefully. And she's the same YouTuber that interviewed the forensic arborist that was investigating the wildfires in Canada. I've highlighted that video, but in this particular one, she's talking about how they had plans for Maui before the fires even started. This is Peggy Hall, and I'm going to try to include these video clips in the show description. I think we've got a little over 5 minutes, Julie. If you could play that one now, that should take us up to close to the break. The Maui clip with Peggy Hall. It's clip number one, by the way.
Hey friends, Peggy Hall back with you from thehealthyamerican.org. Let's do a deep dive on the $500,000 that the County of Maui was given in 2020 to develop what is called a transit-oriented corridor. Here we are, the transit-oriented corridor master plan in West Maui. And guess what? That is right in the burn area. Let me back up just a little bit and show you that there is a general plan for the County of Maui, and it's called General Plan 2030. Well, what a coincidence, because the United Nations has a 2030 agenda for sustainable development. Well, what a coincidence. The state of Hawaii has an Aloha Plus Challenge dashboard measuring Hawaii's sustainability. And this is exactly what the governor, Josh Green Do Deal, as I call him, because he's all in favor of the Green New Deal. And oh, look at here. There are more of those hexagons that are popping up everywhere. I've done a lot of coverage on the X and the hex and the hexagons in my previous videos. Lots of playlists for you below. Let's just listen to Josh Green New Deal himself speaking at the United Nations just a couple of weeks before this intentional disaster on the island of Maui. Let me increase that and we will listen to what he has to say about sustainability goals that are set by the United Nations.
In the old days, decades, generations, and even centuries ago, thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people lived in Hawaii and had a sustainable culture for food. And that was something that we still recognize. To that end, we have done some things and we hope to be able to share this much more in time. One is the Aloha Plus Challenge, which is a data-driven approach, which we can share with our states and with anyone who feels that it would be helpful to track the SDGs, to make sure that we embed them in all of our policies.
All right. SDGs are the Sustainable Development Goals that are set by the United Nations. So this Josh Green Do Deal, with a Band-Aid on his thumb, mind you, I've done lots of videos uncovering this symbolism, and it's likely that now that I've exposed these very strange signs and symbols that he probably will not be sporting the bandages and the band-aids that frequently as he has been. Some of you said that that might be like a little notch in the belt. Every time that he accomplishes one of his dirty deeds, he gets another band-aid, and they happen to be on all different thumbs and fingers. And many of you that are diabetic tell me that you don't use a band-aid when you do the finger prick testing, and you don't do it on the pad of your thumb. So we can put that type of speculation aside. It's a very strange, bizarre thing, and I believe that he ties it into his symbolism for his build beyond barriers, build beyond borders, build back better. I call it burn back better, in order to create these United Nations sustainable resiliency that he loves to talk about. So the Aloha Plus Challenge is what I just showed you. Let's finish up here. And of course, he's coughing because he can barely croak it out, meaning he is probably not telling the truth. All right, let's just replay that for a moment since I interrupted, and we'll let him spew his lies and we will read between the lies. All right, here we go.
Making policy.
In the old days, decades, generations, and even centuries ago, thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people lived in Hawaii and had a sustainable culture for food. And that was something that we still recognize. To that end, we have done some things, and we hope to be able to share this much more in time. One is the Aloha Plus Challenge, which is a data-driven approach, which we can share with our states and with anyone who feels that it would be helpful to track the SDGs, to make sure that we embed them in all of our policies.
All right, he's having a little friend here keeping me company. Yeah, he had to choke on that because he probably knew that he was just saying what the United Nations wanted him to say. So I want to cue up a couple other things here for you. Let me share my screen again, and we will look right over here. So the County of Maui started its 2030 agenda, as I showed you. And then there are different sections of Hawaii, and we are looking at the West Maui Community Plan that was adopted in December of 2021. And I want to show this to you right here. They have this PDF, which I have also, let me see if I can grab that for you. I have also downloaded, and this is what lays out in great detail exactly what they're planning to do to the island in terms of development. This is a year and a half previous to the intentional disaster. And we'll just take a look at the table of contents. Let me increase this a little bit. And it talks about, there's actually a really good history of Maui. I can do a separate video on that for you if you'd like to know more about that. The growth plan and the community map. Now, what I did is I went right to the website and I looked at this transportation-oriented corridor. Look at the language that they have here. Resiliency, right? Safe, healthy, livable communities for all. This is language that comes directly from the United Nations. Now, you may say, well, I think we should have safe, healthy, and livable communities for all. And I would not disagree with you. What I disagree with is the United Nations calling the shots. And basically,
yeah, that's a good place. Yeah, that's a good shot, a place right there. The whole thing is 15 minutes, and I want to put that in the show description so you can watch it in its entirety. But Aloha Plus Challenge, all of this was planned a year and a half before this fire. And look, people, you need to make a plan. That's one of the most important takeaways, because they have made plans for you and your family. At the top of that list is white genocide. But what are they going to do with the medium brown people once they've gotten the whites down to at least a controllable level? And all the whites, you know, go into the rural areas to live sort of away from the big cities and the system. Well, these fires is one way to completely go into the rural areas and just take them out. They're wanting to push towards these sustainable cities where all the medium brown people and what whites are left are stacked on top of each other. And how do you think the whites are going to be treated in these communities? Hello, South Africa. Coming up rapidly on the break, and I have more on this and more clips later to play. Call in if you want to weigh in. 512-248-8252. Back on the other side.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafine, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom, illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hey, coming back to In Plain Sight, your Monday night broadcast, September 11th. And we're just talking about their plans for you, the shift of national sovereignty to the United Nations, which some may argue is not totally Jewish controlled or occupied, but BlackRock and Vanguard controlling most of the stocks and corporations all over the world, a lot of these places can filter down to where you work. They can indirectly or directly send down policies that affect you at your job. All of this going around my Constitution. And look, I appreciate all you patriots that, you know, appreciate the Constitution and that think you still have rights, and to some extent maybe those can be exercised, at least on a local level. But these corporations can go right around your constitutional rights and get you fired, as has been demonstrated in the last 3 years very clearly concerning COVID and BLM movement. You know, racist things you post online, or even things that they would construe as racist. If you just simply say, "I want America to be great again," that could be thrown in the same category as saying, "I want America to be white again." And that's the way that the leftists and the Jewish-dominated elite interpret that. They absolutely do interpret it that way. This is why they're against Trump, even though he is largely a pawn of the system. And some, I'm one of them, would even argue that he's a part of it. He's playing his part. And the people coming after him are totally legit, and they hate him. They don't want him to run. But he's going to play a part in getting all of the MAGApedes ramped up and getting them interested in voting in the next election and thinking that what they're going to do matters, ignoring the fact that at least 8 states still have mail-in ballots. And they could very easily roll out another COVID next year. And so many of these states would go along with it to do mail-in ballots and count them weeks after the election. So never forget that. Talking about never forget that. 2020 election, the hoax. So these policies can affect you and go right around all of your constitutional rights. And keeping in mind that the top of the agenda is white genocide. That's what they're pushing the hardest on, because white rural people are a threat to them and the system. Even though you may not think so, you may think that no whites would ever stand up, because we haven't in so many decades. They very much see us as a threat, and that's why they're going the route that they're going, and they're going to use sustainable cities to control the medium to dark to light brown hordes, and they'll go right in along with it. Let's go to the call screen before I go on anymore. Let's take Dan in Washington. Dan, if the brakes catch you, you can hold on.
Okay. Yeah, me and you talked about the city versus country before. I think you're on to something, though. I do. Well, even just with the new regulations on development, Agenda 21, I've seen them. They're doing that all over. They're building condominiums, or they'll build one house that's split in two and have two townhomes. So they're definitely trying to pack everyone in. I would suggest take a lesson from the Jews in New York City, though. I mean, they just control that part of New York, and they just run it, man. They got their own little police. You know, they make everybody know that that's their part of town. And white people need to start doing that as well. I mean, I had the idea of making a map of America and just declaring certain cities white and just going in that way, you know?
Yeah, a couple of things on that. So in these cities, they're structuring them to replace the law enforcement. That's what the whole, get rid of the cops thing was in the summer of Floyd. And I'm reading in, you know, places like Seattle and other places like that where the riots were the strongest. Nobody wants to be a cop. So what are those law enforcement going to be replaced with? You mentioned the riots. Well, you mentioned New York and the Jewish control. The riots there in New York in the 90s where you had a black ran over and the ambulance wouldn't take him, and these riots broke out against the Jews, or the blacks against the Jews. And you had the system, because the law enforcement was controlled, crack down hard on the blacks, you know, in the 90s. So I'm going to pull those details up here in a minute. But yeah, give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
it's easier for them to control a city than us, and we'll be out in the rural areas waiting to get burnt down.
Well, there's so many Americans will be in both, I think. You know, it's not, I mean, there's still, 250 million white people, so... the Jews in New York have their own little police force, even. That's totally unconstitutional.
The Crown Heights. Crown Heights riots was what I was talking about. Hey, let's take the break, Dan. Hold on to the other side.
Okay.
There's something I wanna say.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my health today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store. Or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Memory, your landline is burning holes. Recover the damage, bring it all home.
Okay, coming back to In Plain Sight, Jeremy, you're talking to Dan in Washington. I brought up the Crown Heights riot. Yeah, that was 91. Let's see, the motorcade of a Rabbi Mendel Schneerson was two cars following that motorcade ran a red light and struck these two brown people from South America, Guyanese immigrants. And this caused a huge black riot against the Jews. It caused the black mayor deacons pretty much to lose because of his response. And our very own Giuliani, election hoax leader himself, took power and they proceeded to do a vicious crackdown on the blacks for their pogrom against the Jews. So I was just responding to you and your point of America, you know, why should you do that? It's kind of hard to do without Jewish power.
Yeah, they can't go after Rabbi Schneerson's motorcade, man. He was busy making those speeches in front of Congress talking about how the Goyim were put on earth to work while the Jews sit and eat. Like, what he was saying all kinds of stuff. What, the Goyim are donkeys. Is that the same guy, Rabbi Schneerson?
Yeah, he said some pretty harsh stuff. I mean, you know, you take a white saying that about Jews or any other race, any other ethnicity, and you can imagine the backlash But, you know, in this scenario that we're painting of smart cities and a few whites being there and mostly brown people, you know, this they're trying to accomplish by 2030. The whole Agenda 21 means the century of the 21st century, you know, and then 2030 is supposed to be the culmination of all of these things that they're putting in place here. But you can imagine the Jews, I'm sure, will have their own privileged section in these smart cities. And with BlackRock and Vanguard ruling the corporations, I'm sure they'll get the most choicest of jobs and treatment. And probably the whites are not going to be so much.
Yeah, Kennedy just came out hard against BlackRock and stuff buying houses. I don't know if you saw his plan on that, but he's actually pretty good speaking out against BlackRock and these banks buying houses and stuff.
That's the thing. These candidates, you know, RFK and even Vivek Ramaswamy, I mean, they're going to say some good stuff because they're trying to win the populace, but none of them are saying everything that we need to be said, you know.
I think it's almost like they're on overdrive with the open border, like, because there's balkanization already. I mean, like Boise, Idaho. Boise, Idaho is half of its people from California, and most of them are racially aware. They know they moved up there because they didn't want to be a total minority, and Boise, Idaho could have been just basically a completely white city and almost a white state, but they just, they're shipping in tons of Mexicans into the downtown area, and they don't seem to want white people, and I think that's kind of why Portland and Seattle were targeted. They don't want white people in a city because cities have political power, you know? That's where the political power really is if you look at, like, the election maps and stuff. When, like, in Washington, Trump won. The whole state was red except for, like, Seattle and Olympia.
Yeah. So and even within the states, it does affect to some extent. It affects the congressional representatives for sure in the state. I've argued that it affects the gubernatorial election as it did in Kentucky, where all your blue for Beshear in 2019, all your blue was in Lexington, Louisville, and Frankfort. The whole state was red. And it was the same thing in the presidential election. Now, you make a great point, and Dr. Fetzer pointed this out on his show today, that, you know, America is one of the highest crime countries in the world, but if you take out the major cities like New York, Chicago, and L.A., you take out, he named a handful of cities that we all know are full of black crime. You take those out and America moves way down the list in violent crime.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and then he also pointed out,
it's tragic because, I mean, if you look at these old cities, like I went through Milwaukee, you know, and you had all these old churches, and Milwaukee was basically probably 100% white until like the 1960s or something, maybe a little less. But America really doesn't have any cities where white people live, really, like Europe, you know, and it's a shame because the city is where the culture is, you know, that's where your civilization really is. If you look at some old city like Rome or Germany, Berlin, London, you know, that's white people built all that, all those pretty buildings and the subway systems and, you know,
Yep. What's coming up? Hello, Compton. Hello, Detroit.
Yeah.
Hello, St. Louis. You know, it's a shame you're bringing up another great point that we're hitting on here. I was pointing out the fact that they're shifting because of the policies in these big cities. White people are leaving, and so that leaves them with easily controllable brown people for their smart cities. But then what's that do to the electoral map, as you're pointing out? We'll never win another pro-white candidate again. Not that we really have had a pro-white candidate in a long time. Trump was the closest, and that was all barely implicit. All he was saying was stuff Democrats were saying in the 80s.
Exactly. You know, and like your state, like I was researching, I think it's Louisville or one of the bigger cities is one of the whitest cities in America, too. You know, so if we just started declaring these cities a white city, even though it wouldn't legally that's why I always had an idea of just starting making new maps of America based on racial balkanization. But we could just start, you know, say, hey, we're all moving to Louisville, Kentucky. If it's already like 60-70% white, just keep, downtown. And
It's unfortunately not happening that way. You brought up balkanization because of these migrants. And I also heard reports in the news today, I think it was Fetzer, talking about a school in New York where there's so many migrants the students couldn't get into school and their whole day was disrupted. Chicago O'Hare Airport. I mean, this is causing white people, to even liberal ones, to just say, I've had enough, and they start leaving. That's going to be the response of most white people, liberal or conservative, is just get out of there.
I almost feel like it could be maybe BlackRock and these, you know, when the white people are getting moving out of Portland and Seattle, and those were like kind of cities where white people were, but it could almost be a way to just take advantage of low property values. You know, you ship in a bunch of Mexicans, drive all the white people out, and then the value goes down, and then you pass a bunch of laws where people have to live in these smart cities, and you own half the city because you bought cheap.
You liberalize and basically just destroy the culture of these cities and rebuild it, and then you burn out the rural areas or buy them up. I mean, what happens
people aren't
when...
going to be able to afford. You can't drive, you know, gas will be expensive. We'll be driving e-scooters around, you know, e-bikes.
Bill Gates is an authorized target for us to call him out buying the farmland. But, I mean, you think about, too, how much does BlackRock and Vanguard control, even indirectly? If these farmers, like, so we got farmers in West Kentucky by Wycliffe, man, where the Ohio meets the Mississippi, they sell tremendous amounts of soybeans to China. You know, what happens when they're bought out or forced to buy out, or when, for whatever reason, you know, they can't afford the debt anymore? These farmers are in millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of debt. Some of the bigger operations.
I see it all over. Yeah, I see it all over, man. These little, if you'd like Eastern Colorado and where was I? Just at some little town north of Amarillo, Texas, in between, you know, these little, they used to be little farm cities, but they're just turning into completely deserted ghost towns now. Because, yeah, they used to have family farmers and communities and stuff, but they all that area gets bought by corporate farms, and then we'll just have illegal immigrants doing all the farm processing and stuff. And then all the people that used to be there they just leave, you know, and they will have to go to the city or move to some kind of suburb or something.
The control of the farms, the major farms, is going to lead to food, you know, control of the food on an industrial scale. And that leads me to something else. Talking about food control, did you have a point before I go to this next thing?
No, that's cool. That's go ahead, and I'll it's a good show. And I hate to give up on the city. You know, well, we can't, even if we tried. I mean, you have to have big major cities, and that's the political power. But we should do both. But anyway, thanks for taking the call. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Dan. Really appreciate the call. Looking at the call screen, don't have any others just as of yet. So I've got more to report on, as well as a clip if we can fit it in. Speaking of the control of the food supply, especially in the rural areas, we had this chronic wasting disease hoax for the deer. This area, along with Missouri, Tennessee, huge deer hunters, and people fill their freezers up every year with deer, and they make all kinds of delicious meats and jerkies out of it. But there is this chronic wasting disease that they claimed was, you know, affecting tremendous amounts of deers in all these different counties in these states that I mentioned. And here's a WKMS article. Former Tennessee Wildlife Resource Agency biologist stated that the agency manipulated data on the deer disease. And so this agency filed a lawsuit against this whistleblower. All right. A state biologist claims that he was confronted in his home by law enforcement officers with the Tennessee Wildlife Resource Agency on the same day that he sent his boss's supervisors evidence that the state of Tennessee was falsifying data on wildlife diseases. They confiscated his cell phones, laptops, and any other items that he collected data on. How about that First Amendment, my Constitution right? Right? How about your illegal search and seizure? How about any of that? They raided this guy's house just because he blew the whistle on incorrect data being reported. All right, the biologist's name is James Kelly, if you want to look him up. James, and then the last name, K-E-L-L-Y. Most likely he's a fellow Irishman. He led the Tennessee Wildlife Resource Agency Deer Management Program, and he even chaired the Chronic Wasting Disease Management Standing Team. He served as a biologist there until he was fired in 22. So not only did he lose his job, but he got raided, and now they're suing him. His lawsuit filed this week alleges that state officials manipulated data, so they're going to countersue and completely destroy this man's life. So no, his First Amendment, none of his amendments helped him. Do you think that the Constitution helped out Ricky Vaughn, who doing federal time for posting a meme about the 2016 election? Or how about Mark Houck? So Mark Houck was a Catholic protester at abortion clinics, and they went and raided this guy's house. The feds did and pulled him out on a federal charge. They said that he blocked the entrance to the abortion clinic. He got in a little shoving contest with one of the pro-death activists who shoved his son, pro-abortion activist, and Houck shoved the guy back and protected his son. And the feds came in and drug him out in front of his family and zip-tied him. Now, Houck was acquitted on February 1st of 2023. But how much did he spend in, you know, legal fees? How long was he in jail and away from his family? What effect did this have? So you might count this as a victory, but the fact that they were able to do this to the man to begin with, I would argue, is not one. Let's talk about the police officers that were involved in the Breonna Taylor shooting. Again, I disagree with no-knock warrants, but they executed a warrant in Louisville where they actually did knock. Her boyfriend shot through the door, and they returned fire excessively, killing Breonna Taylor, a black a female that was in the medical field. So they were, you know, declared not guilty. Cameron, the state attorney, black man Cameron, refused to press charges or to press the issue, and the feds came in and charged these officers with a federal hate crime. And now they're going to be standing trial on federal level. What's that going to do to people's desire or motivation to become police in these big cities? Again, all of these things working together at such a rapid pace that it's hard to even follow the narrative, build a narrative, or figure out what to do. Again, there's been suggestions of what to do, and I don't have to say what that is. But the system is so powerful right now. Any type of pushback, be it political or whatever else, is met by fierce crackdowns. So, again, these are the directions that they're pushing us. And I mentioned the chronic wasting disease in the deer. That was an attempt, and it's still so far been successful. I don't think that this biologist, you know, I have doubts he's going to win his suit in this court system. But it's a way. What they were basically saying was, if you go deer hunting, you've got to take every deer through a station to get it tested, quote unquote, for this alleged disease. And of course, if it's positive, you can't keep the deer. It's got to be disposed of in a county where they have designated. And the data on all of this was highly skewed, according to this whistleblower. And just imagine the false COVID tests that they have. I mean, how many false tests can they produce on this chronic wasting disease? I mean, it could be endless, especially, you know, in areas where people are not fighting back legally or otherwise. So, again, all of this leading to a perfect storm of complete control of the big cities, the food supply on an industrial scale with these huge farms, as well as what we sell to China. China's a huge purchaser of the soybeans, especially around here. And what do we do when those farms are owned by Jewish-controlled BlackRock? And, you know, there you go. Farmers could easily be forced into selling out, and they probably would very gladly to get out from under the crushing debt. Up on the break, I'm pretty sure, Julie, I think I hear the music. I don't hear it yet. There it is.
Sometimes when your hopes have all been shattered, there's nowhere to turn.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Back to the final segment of In Plain Sight. So just finishing up, we're not going to have time for the last clip. It's of William Bradford Shockley. I ran across his name listening to some podcasts today, and I was vaguely familiar with him, but this in the topic of white genocide and sort of some predictions that he made. So Shockley, born in 1910 in the UK, he was an inventor, a physicist, and a eugenist. eugenicist, mostly known for his 1956 Nobel Prize in Physics for researching semiconductors and transistors. Shockley gave a number of speeches. One notable one that I'll try to include in the show description is a 1972 speech he gave at UCLA, and it's observations that he had made of the black ethnic communities in the United States, the notable differences in IQ based on genetics in comparison to white Americans of European descent, and the fact that welfare systems of the government were basically targeting black communities and enabling them to have vastly more children under the welfare system, massively outproducing the whites. This he noted in 1972, and if you listen to the clip, you can hear the students in the background like reacting negatively. One student called him or asked him if he was a fascist, simply for just reporting this data and sort of formulating an observation, but then also a prediction that under the welfare systems that the black communities would outpace the whites, and that whites would become a minority soon. And just like many others that noticed this, I mean, he was one of the few voices that had a lot of clout and respect and was able to get this out on a mainstream platform early on. 1972, my goodness, I wasn't even born yet. And he's making some very astute, very chilling predictions that we see coming true now. And he wasn't, I mean, even totally factoring in the massive amount of third world migration that we're seeing today. Of course, that was post-1965 Immigration Act, but you didn't really start feeling the effects of that until on into the 80s and 90s. That's why you had all your mainstream Democrat politicians, even like, you know, Joe Brandon. You know, back then, they were all, that immigration was a talking point, similar to what Trump's talking points were. If you remember the 90s, these Democratic politicians would get up and say, we need to control immigration because we care about the workers. Well, all that went out the window, didn't it? All that went out the window quick, fast, and in a hurry. And now we're left with no party representing white people or workers of any kind. This bow to corporatism and this subservience to Jewish power and leading the military-industrial complex into these wars of the 21st century. That's all we have time for. Appreciate you, listeners. And you guys stay classy. Tomorrow night will be Patrick and Jeremy.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names, Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.